and fourth seed Nikolai Davidenko. On the women's side, Svetlana Kuznetsova and 13th seed Dinara Safina, and also 22nd seed Amélie Mauresmo won today. Each of the first 3 days of the French Open have been affected by rain, but today's weather was the worst. All of today's Major League Baseball games will be under the lights, including the Cubs and Dodgers at Wrigley Field, the Cards and Astros at Busch Stadium, and the White Sox will be in Cleveland tonight. Game 4 in the NBA's Western Conference Final is tonight in San Antonio. The Lakers lead the Spurs 2-1. Today's a travel day in the Stanley Cup Finals as Detroit and Pittsburgh, move to the Steel City. The Red Wings top that series 2-0 after back-to-back shutouts. An Olympic gold medalist, Paul Hamm, is scheduled to have surgery this afternoon to repair the broken bone in his right hand. Hamm was seconds away from finishing his parallel bars routine at the U.S. Gymnastics Championships Thursday night when he jammed his right ring finger, breaking the fourth metacarpal. Recovery is expected to take at least 4 weeks.
The following is a required weekly test of the emergency alert system. This has been a test of the emergency alert system. This is WILL Urbana. Programming on AM 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Thrifty Nichols American Classifieds, distributed each Thursday in over 100 towns in East Central Illinois, on the web at AmericanClassifieds.com.
Well, we have some heavy rainfall to the southwest and southeast of the Champaign-Urbana area that has a couple of flood watches in effect. One of them is until 6 o'clock, and it's for Bond County. Local law enforcement reported water covering parts of Highway 127 and 140 down there, up to 8 inches deep in spots. Radar estimates 1 to 3 inches of rain has fallen since noon, with additional rainfall up to an inch expected this afternoon. And some of the towns affected, Reno and Sorrento and Greenville. And to the southeast, it's been raining hard. A little cell developed around the Olney area, and it's moved slowly to the east, but not before dumping 2 to 3 inches of rain since noon, likely more than that, as 5 to 7 more inches was forecast, or total amounts, I should say, of 5 to 7 inches. So an additional few inches was expected to be falling in that area, and it's continued falling. So until 6:15, there's a flash flood warning in effect for Richland and Lawrence counties, the Olney and Lawrenceville areas. And there's been 4 inches or more of water on some roads. And so if you're traveling down in those areas, Bond County and also Richland and Lawrence counties, you'll want to keep an eye on that situation. The radar continuing to indicate some lighter rainfall over those areas, over toward the Vincennes, Indiana area, a little bit heavier, and over toward the Bloomington, Indiana area. There are also some concerns about flooding with heavy rainfall, but rainfall has lightened over much of the rest of the region. And we'll keep you updated on that and during All Things Considered this afternoon, more in-depth weather. It's 2:43. Sidney Pollack died yesterday of cancer at his home in Los Angeles. He was 73 years old. Pollack was best known for directing The Way We Were, Out of Africa, Tootsie, and 3 Days of the Condor. He was also a producer and actor. Pollack appeared in Woody Allen's Manhattan and Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut. Howie Moshevitz of Colorado Public Radio has this appreciation.
Sidney Pollack began his career as an actor, but in 1961, he found himself on the set of The Young Savages as a dialogue coach. His work attracted the attention of the film's veteran star, Burt Lancaster. In a 1990 interview with WHYY's Fresh Air, Pollack remembered being called into Lancaster's office.
He said, "You know, you ought to be a director. You really should. What do you want to be told what to do when you can be telling everybody what to do for?" That was the way he put it. And he picked up the phone and he called Lou Wasserman and said, "Lou, I got a kid here. I don't know if he can direct, but I think he's talented. I want you to talk to him." And I'm quoting verbatim now. And he said, "In any case, it can't be worse than those bums you got working for you now."
Wasserman, the head of Universal Pictures, put Pollack under the wing of a producer. And before long, Pollack was directing TV. He made his first feature film, The Slender Thread, in 1965. Film historian Patricia Aaron says he followed it with 20 more that ran the gamut of genres.
to me, he is one of the last of the great studio directors that could do just about anything, and he did. He made westerns early on, action thrillers, melodramas, love stories. He's not a great auteur that had a unique vision or visual style. So you don't come away thinking about him as a director. You come away thinking about the film.
Ahrens adds that Pollack did more than repeat the conventional Hollywood forms. He gave them heft by giving them a twist.
The Way We Were is not just a great, sad love story, but it's about the Hollywood 10 and blacklisting.
This isn't college. This is grown-up politics, Katie. And it's stupid and dangerous.
What are you telling me to do, sit by and shut up just because it's dangerous?
I'm telling you it's a waste. That's what I'm telling you. And that those men and their families are only going to get hurt. And that nothing is going to change. Nothing. And after jail, after 5 or 6 years of bad blood, when it's practical for some fascist producer to hire some communist writer to save his ass because his hit movie's in trouble, he'll do it. They'll both do it. They'll make movies. They'll have dinner, they'll play tennis, they'll make passes at each other's wives. Now, what in the hell did anybody ever go to jail for?
So there's a background of politics that's in the film, same in Out of Africa, about colonialists, or even an early film like Jeremiah Johnson, which gave us a new image of the West. So he has a way of taking traditional Hollywood genres and bringing more out of them.
He would never do a film, a political film, directly. He didn't like pamphlets. He liked the metaphor.
Michael Henry Wilson, a French-born filmmaker and friend of Pollack's, planned to shoot a documentary about Pollack before the director fell ill. Wilson says that Pollack returned to several themes over and over throughout his career.
There's a line that you hear in practically all of Sidney's films, is, I'm going home. And so many of his films are about finding yourself, finding your roots, finding your home. And the journey is really what a lot of these films are about.
Which way are you headed, Jeremiah?
Canada, maybe. I hear there's land there a man has never seen.
There's one line that also I want to mention, because practically every other film of Sidney has it. You think not getting caught in a lie is the same thing as telling the truth. It's a good line. You think not getting caught in a lie is the same thing as telling the truth.
In combining issues with entertainment, Sidney Pollack drew on his first job in films, says historian Patricia Ahrens.
His huge contribution is his ability to bring out the very best performance from his actors.
Ahrens says a lot of that had to do with Pollack's own experience as an actor. He continued to take small parts throughout his career, sometimes reluctantly, as he told NPR in 1993, when talking about playing the agent for Dustin Hoffman's cross-dressing character in Tootsie.
I had a very good actor all set to play that part, and he kept saying, I want you to play that part. And I kept saying, Dustin, you're crazy. I got enough to do. I haven't acted in years, and I don't want to do it. And finally he started sending me flowers, dozens of roses, saying, please be my agent, love, Dorothy. And I really ended up doing it basically to mollify him.
Nobody will hire you.
Are you saying that nobody in New York will work with me?
Oh, no, that's too limiting. Nobody in Hollywood wants to work with you either. I can't even send you up for a commercial. You played a tomato for 30 seconds. They want a half a day over schedule because you wouldn't sit down.
Yes, it wasn't logical.
You were a tomato! A tomato doesn't have logic!
Sidney Pollack in person was the antithesis of Tootsie's brusque agent, says Pollack's friend Michael Henry Wilson.
Sidney was probably the nicest person you could meet in that business. A true straight shooter, also someone who nurtured doubts about what he was doing, was never satisfied with what he was doing, and was incredibly nervous each time a new film opened, and could not believe that some of his films were so successful. He was so humble and honest.
Sidney Pollack was directing the HBO dramatic film Recount about the 2000 election before illness forced him to abandon the project. For NPR News, I'm Howie Mofsovitz.
Well, James Bond never gets old, but this week marks a milestone in the life of the super spy. Tomorrow is the 100th anniversary of the birth of Ian Fleming, the man who created Bond. NPR's Rob Gifford went to the Imperial War Museum in London to visit an exhibition called For Your Eyes Only, which is commemorating all things 007.
It's a journey back in time at the Imperial War Museum right now, not so much a spin through the Bond movies as through the life of Bond's inventor, Ian Fleming, the music of the time and the influences that led to his most famous creation, told through an interview he gave in 1963.
I was just on the edge of getting married, and I was frenzied at the prospect of this great step in my life after having been a bachelor for so long, and I really wanted to take my mind off the agony. And so I decided to sit down and write a book.
The book was Casino Royale, published in 1952. An initial print run of just under 5,000 books had, within the 12 years before Fleming's death, become a franchise that had sold nearly 40 million copies. Tame by today's standards, the Bond books back then were considered very racy, though not by the standards of Fleming's own private life.
All history is sex and violence. And I think it's ridiculous to go on writing thrillers in the old Bulldog Drummond, John Buchan way when life has come out so fast past us. If I didn't
care. Fleming himself was born into privilege. Just before World War II, he joined British Naval Intelligence, and his experiences there, plus his own flamboyant lifestyle, gave him the perfect basis for Bond, who injected an unthinkable glamour into the austerity years of post-war Britain. Fleming denied that there was much of himself in James Bond.
I hope not. People do connect me with James Bond simply because I happen to like scrambled eggs and short-sleeved shirts and some of the things that James Bond does, but I certainly haven't got his guts nor his very lively appetites.
In fact, James Bond and Ian Fleming seem wholly intertwined, and the exhibit displays love letters and details of Fleming's affairs and a whole array of articles and letters from Fleming's life, as well as a rogues gallery of Bond villains and pictures of all the Bond girls. There have been other ghost authors writing as Ian Fleming before, but still, the idea of Sebastian Foulkes taking on the mantle in the new Bond novel Devil May Care doesn't sit well with museum visitor Benedict Flirter.
Since he drew most of the inspiration from his like childhood, from his time at war and so on, that actually this new author that's going to write it can't really like write it the same style in the same way as Ian Fleming did, because he's just from a totally different background. And since James Bond really seems to be like more or less like the alter ego Ian Fleming always wanted to be, this person won't be able to do it.
But Anne and Jason Innes, visiting from Dallas, Texas, say they'll give it a try.
Why not? I mean, as long as it's not misrepresented, sure.
Yeah, I say go for it. He's a great character and we need more of it.
The book is out tomorrow, exactly 100 years after the day Ian Fleming was born, and the public can decide for themselves. Rob Gifford, NPR News, at the Imperial War Museum in London.
Well, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of Crystal Skull earned more than $150 million in just its first weekend at the box office, another in a long string of Steven Spielberg hits. NPR's Jeffrey Fryman Wire talked to a scholar of Spielberg who's come up with one explanation for why his movies succeed.
Lester Friedman is chairman of the Media and Society Program at Hobart and William Smith Colleges and wrote the book Citizen Spielberg.
Almost all of the Spielberg films are about a breakup of some sort within a family and the ability of someone to put that family together.
Friedman says that Spielberg points to his parents' divorce and his own as the two worst events of his life, and bringing the on-screen family back together is just as important as the special effects and explosions.
Spielberg is as interested in those characters as he is in the roller coaster ride he's about to provide you. And that's what his imitators lack, quite frankly.
Jeffrey Fryman Wire, NPR News.
Well, updating some of the weather to the south of us, we have a number of weather alerts issued, and one is the flash flood warning that remains in effect until 6:15 for Lawrence and Richland counties. Weather Service radar indicated that thunderstorms producing flash flooding over the warned area continued. Locations include Noble, Olney, Chauncey, Sumner. Additional rainfall of 2 to 3.5 inches has occurred from Richland County into western Lawrence County since noon today, and more thunderstorms are expected, an additional 1 to 3 inches between 3 and 5 o'clock down in the Olney and Lawrenceville area. Be careful if you're driving down there. Bond County has a flash flood warning until 6 o'clock for cities in and around or around the Greenville area. And then over in southwest Indiana, central Daviess County, and Knox County, including Plainville, Odin, Edwardsport, and Bicknell, are under a flash flood.